Did Don Draper really buy the world a Coke? Did Tony Soprano really die or just order more onion rings? Were those guys really in hell the whole time or was that just the audience? The finales of our favorite shows can make us argue, make us cry, and make us crazy. From Spotify and The Ringer, I'm Andy Greenwald, and this is Stick the Landing, a new podcast where we'll be telling the story of modern TV backwards, one fade out at a time. Each episode, a guest and I will choose a celebrated series from history, from the 70s to the streaming era and beyond, and do a deep dive on its very last episode. Was it all a dream? Did it turn into a nightmare? And, most importantly, what can we learn about tomorrow's new shows from the way yesterday's ended? TV is a journey. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast about the destination. Starting January 17th, find Stick the Landing on Wednesdays on the Prestige TV feed, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the
30
clock.
30 minutes.
Yes.
A lot of good stories.
It's been a while. We're back.
How are you?
Great.
I'm glad to hear that. You know what I've been thinking a lot about? Cosmic. I need someone in Texas/Illinois
yes.
to follow up about Cosmic.
Someone go to Cosmic, the McDonald's answer to Starbucks, which is not really an answer to Starbucks. And please, if anybody who wants to be involved with the show, whether you went to Cosmic or not, you can call us at
646-STU-138. All right, let's get started. First stop, the great city of Indianapolis. Where
great topic.
Something really wild happened. It's like a kerfuffle I didn't really even like consider happening in my lifetime. It's just like not something I considered to be a problem, which is there basically was like an ambush wedding. And the thing that got ambushed was the wedding venue. It's a coffee shop called Mansion Society.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Indianapolis. It is adjacent to an actual wedding venue.
Yes.
And this couple walked in with their friends and family.
They made a reservation for six. They attempted to make a reservation for six, right? And then when they were told there was like some documents involved and they don't really take reservations. So then people came in, they're like, we have a reservation. They're like, oh, we only do that, but you can go sit down at that table. And then what happened?
Many more people came in.
Yeah.
And they had an actual wedding. There was an officiant. There was a photographer.
Everyone's dressed up.
There were seats
lined up along the side. There's two people at the front and an officiant. There's a photographer with lights. They had a wedding.
In a coffee shop. When I first saw this come through, I thought it was going to be the Mansion Diner on First Avenue on the Upper East Side. I was like, wait, what?
Nope.
Weird place to get married. But
nope.
No, it's the Mansion Society, Indianapolis. And then the wedding, as you may expect, really disrupted business at the Mansion Society. The folks from the Mansion Society are making it seem like it was like a hostage situation where they were being held hostage by this wedding and they couldn't like do business. And it, of course, spilled over onto social media. Jacoby, I know you have a lot of thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts.
What are they? Also, what crucial information do you think I've left out for like table setting here?
Okay, a couple things. Number one, what happened. They're being accused of sort of taking over the coffee shop, blocking it from customers so they can't serve customers. Also, which I loved, taking the parking spots out front and then parking the cars valet style, which I love the idea of, like, not just a pop-up wedding. We also have, like, we have a valet at our pop-up wedding to just give me the keys, it's tip me later.
Insane.
And then the finances are the big part too. Because what happened was, is they complained about this. They filmed some of it. They just said they wouldn't post it on social media, but they did later because they felt wronged. And the couple basically offered $200, right? And then you would think, as someone who's been married and spent way too much on their wedding, is the venue cost is very high. And then the venue came back, and you know what they said? Just give us $500. So they're only $300 off. And I'm thinking, if I had a pop-up wedding that you didn't know about in your venue and all I had to pay was $500 to make everything good, here you go. That is a steal.
A steal.
A steal.
The one-day valet guy probably cost more than that.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking, like, what? This shouldn't be a coffee shop anymore. This should be a wedding venue, because this is a great deal.
Now it's famous, too. It's like a place to have your pop-up wedding.
And so those are some of the facts that I want to get up. But one of the things when I saw this, I initially thought, this is where they had their first date. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that went through my mind. It's like, oh, this is special to this couple. They wanted to have it in this place. I actually thought it was kind of romantic, right?
Okay.
To sort of like recreate when we first fell in love, first met or whatever. But then when I realized it's actually adjacent to a wedding venue and they get a lot of wedding parties coming in, so they're kind of like used to this. Like, I feel like, I don't know, was this planned?
I think it was. The valet piece of it and, like, a lot of parking makes it seem like, to me, like it was planned. Like, I think that they went for a venue where, like, they'd just be able to accommodate a lot of people.
Yeah.
It does seem like planning went into this. It wasn't just, like, totally random.
And if you think about a restaurant, you kind of need to sit at tables and have servers. But a coffee shop is kind of like a bar in the sense that it's like, we trust that you're going to buy something. Feel free to sit down and chill.
Also, they blocked, like, operations in there for 20 minutes. What happened after?
First of all, great time for a ceremony, everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, 20 That's minutes the proper is just time. About perfect.
I was just discussing this, I think, with Callie. That's the proper time for a wedding. Yes,
for
20 100%.
Minutes, that's just about right. If you're not married yet, you're engaged. 20 minutes is just about right. And they blocked it down, but they also, one person came over and was like, hey, you're having a wedding in my place of business. And their response was, cool, cool, cool. Just 5 more minutes. We're wrapping this up. Which I love that too. Whoever that person was. Is that the bride or the groom? So someone would be like, yeah, you're totally right. You're right. We'll get out of here. Just give us 5 more minutes, right?
I just don't understand, like, what happened next. Like, I'm just very confused.
They just left.
Where'd they go?
Wherever they got their valet cars, and they just, like, left the venue. And then there was an email exchange, which is like where the sort of the finances started to work out. But they're only $300 apart.
I know. There also was a GoFundMe, I think, right? So, like, how much were they raising on the GoFundMe?
Yes. They really looked like a wedding party.
So my quibble with this, or not like even a quibble, but I don't like how Mansion Society is handling things. I don't like the tone of their Instagram. I feel like this was going to be a net positive for them.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, they got a lot of attention.
Lean into it.
But now they're just, like, really mad. And they posted, like, a 10-slide Instagram about what happened and the wedding saga.
And they're trying to pose themselves as victims.
Yes.
Whereas what they really should pose themselves as a community center where you can come, you can get your work done, you can connect with people, you can have meetings, have weddings.
Also, another,
you never know you're going to see a mansion.
I would love to. I just want to note, like, I was at the Met a couple days ago and there was an engagement photo shoot mm-hmm. happening. And it was just two people and their photographer on the big staircase at the Met inside. And they didn't, like, get a permit for that or pay for it. And I was like, I love this. I just feel like we're doing our influencer photo shoot.
It helped your day.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, like, if I was at a coffee shop or a diner and I saw a wedding, I'd be excited.
And in today's, like, TikTok, Instagram society, totally. You're getting post on post on post.
So here's my other issue with Mansion Society, how they're handling it. They, like, refrain from posting any clips of what happened to, like, give anonymity.
We're too classy for that. We would never do that. Never do that to this wedding.
Then once they got viral and they only got $200, not $500...
Boom,
they,
we posted.
They posted it. I'm just like, that's tacky. You didn't need to do it. Like, it's
very
like
tacky.
Out there already.
Yeah, you can see, like, the bride's face.
So I'm team bride is where I'm getting
I'm team wedding on this. Fuck the Mansion Society. Bad name for a coffee shop. Never going there ever. Next time I'm in Indianapolis, I'm going to go right past Mansion Society to one of their competitors.
Wow. Well, just go straight to the wedding venue and see if you can just crash.
See,
find your way in.
Renew my vows.
All right, let's move on to another, like, just honestly harrowing story.
This is important to me. I want to take everybody behind the scenes. Can you just read the headline?
Yes. This is from people.com.
And then stop, please.
Man accused of assaulting, trying to deep fry wife's co-worker's head at McDonald's for, quote, disrespecting, close quote, her.
When I saw this headline and read it, I thought our producer, Mike Wargon, has lost his goddamn mind. I assumed the head was no longer attached to the body. I thought there was a decapitation and someone was deep frying a loose head, like covered in blood.
That's disgusting.
After a bloody murder, trying to deep fry a decapitated head. And I was like, Mike, we can't talk about this on Food News. I was like, what happened? Is 2024 turned a page for Mike? Do we need to check in on him? But then I read the article and guess what? Totally not that big a deal. Continue.
It's actually an episode of Fargo, basically. Like, this is the kind of thing that happen on that. Are you watching Fargo?
No.
It's very good, but I feel like this would happen. A man named Dwayne Waden went to a McDonald's where his wife works and found the woman that was annoying his wife, her coworker, and tried to push her into the deep fryer.
Oh, it was a female he tried to push in the deep fryer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
I didn't read it that way. That changes everything.
Oh, I assumed it was a woman.
Oh, no. I assumed it was a guy. I don't think Dwayne is going to show up at McDonald's and assault the coworker.
Oh, you're right. It was It was a man.
Okay, that changes all the dynamics.
His name is Theodore.
Yeah, so Theodore.
I assumed this was like a man attacking a woman for some reason.
I assumed it was a decapitation. So who am I to judge on assumptions in this case? But here's my question for you is where I want to take this one, right?
Okay.
Let's say you are pissed off at work and someone's annoying you. Uh-huh. Theodore is just, God, he's been doing this for months, but he just woke up and he just chose violence today, and you are so mad that you call your man.
Okay.
Your man shows up looking for blood. What percentage of you is just like, oh, Dwayne, this is embarrassing. This is where I work. I hate this. And what percentage of you is like, that's my man right there?
95% annoyed. I do not want this happening.
Okay.
That is not for me. No.
Not you? Okay.
Like, let's keep that. Let's just, you know.
Yeah, like I was just trying to vent. It was my break. I called you. I vented.
No, this is just like me sharing with you, my partner.
Yes.
Please do not come to my place of business and take action. I do not need that.
This is also like a very trophy, like male-female in a relationship thing where like dude is like trying to solve problem. I will solve problem. And sometimes just like, no, I just wanted to vent. You know, that's actually helping. Yeah.
I'm doing is like looking for you to like say you understand be on my
and
side. Like,
and they also talk shit about Theodore a little bit.
Note to everyone in my life. Usually I'm just looking for you to be on my side.
Okay.
So. I'm on your
minutes.
Side, Juliet.
That's really all that matters. This is, I just think, really gnarly and funny. And like, it's so absurd.
I just like the pushing in the fryer. It does seem very like Tarantino-ish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like you're just trying to get the answer out of somebody.
It's like campy violence. It's so absurd.
Yeah, it's like Suge Knight trying to get like Vanilla Ice to sign some document and just like, I'll fry your head.
In like a reenactment or something.
Yeah, but I definitely read that and thought the head was off the shoulders. And I was like, Mike, we cannot talk about this on Food News.
For some reason, I just like really thought it was like a man attacking a woman on behalf of his
Which
wife.
Which also makes it a little gnarly and I don't want to talk about it on Food News. But man-on-man violence involves deep-frying faces?
You're like, I'm good
on board.
To go.
Yeah, let's do it. 10 minutes.
All right, let's move on to talking about olive oil, one of our favorite topics. Mm. CNN went long on extra virgin olive oil being really expensive. And part of that is, as we've discussed on this pod, a bad grow season for both olives and grapes last year.
Dude, it said in the article 41%.
I know, 41%
drop. That's a huge percentage.
Huge problem. But for me, the big problem is that there's a lot of fake olive oil now being sold here in America, including, it said that like some of the ways that it's watered down, what they'll do is take some olive oil and then mix it with palm oil, canola oil, and lamp oil. And then I kept reading the article for them to explain what lamp oil is. And I was like, you mean like from Mary Poppins olden times?
Yes.
And they didn't really explain it.
No, but also like, and also they put like food coloring
in it. Yeah, to make it look more yellow.
To make it look like that butterish color.
Yeah. And it's like, it is alarming. Also, I will say like a conversation I've had recently is how expensive olive oil has gotten. So I really want the good shit. And you can taste the difference for sure.
Oh yeah. But the thing is, okay. See, that's where I want to go with this. Yes, you can taste the difference. The olive oil that we had in Spain was fantastic. Some of the best olive oil I've ever had in my life, even though I think it's overrated. Fine. But point being—
Forgot about that point.
Point being—
Important that you nailed it.
If I have it at home, right?
Yeah.
And you gave me the Fugazi canola oil with the green dye or whatever, and you put it in a very fancy bottle— I don't think I would taste the difference. Because I also use this cooking thing. I don't like dip bread in it. You know what I mean?
I think for cooking, it's harder to tell the difference. But if you dip bread in it, I bet you would tell the difference.
I don't know.
But you've now had such the good shit from Spain.
I know, but like, if you put it in a really fancy bottle, I think you would be incepted. Yes.
Well, maybe we should do a blind taste test and see if you can tell the difference between fancy olive oil and not fancy olive oil.
I think we did that for like a week in Spain.
Well, let's do it again. Let's see where you're at. All right. You know?
Let's go check in on our guys in Tenerife.
I think of Tenerife often. It was a great place. All right. Let's move on. More oil news. Our third oil story in a row.
I like this one.
Two men were allegedly stealing cooking oil from Wendy's in Pennsylvania. They had previously done this, allegedly, in New York. This is what they do.
This is the thing that I wanted to talk about.
They get a Penske truck.
They get a Penske truck, and they go to Wendy's, and they steal oil. Right? So they did that. And at the very bottom of the article, there's a quote. And I'm just like, you got to lead with this.
Absolutely incredible.
Here's what they said. Officers noted Garcia Reyes was arrested for the same offense 20 days prior in New Jersey.
They're also from New York.
So
that's why
he robbed a Wendy's, not for cash, not for food, for olive oil. Or no, sorry, oil. And then he got arrested for it and charged. And then 20 days later, did it again.
Here's what I wanted to share with you. According to court records, one of these men said there were no signs prohibiting the theft of cooking oil.
Oh, shit. So that is 4K chess.
Therefore, it's allowed.
I like that.
I know. I mean,
there's no sign that it said I can't.
What's the resale value on cooking oil that he's doing it 20 days apart?
Wendy's. I mean, we just discussed the high quality olive oil that we tasted that I would probably pay $100 a bottle for in Spain. I can't imagine the market is similar for Wendy's oil that you cook and then try to put your colleague's face in. Oh, sorry, it's McDonald's.
I so deeply wish we could just like interview all these thieves to be like, what's the resale value? Where is this going? Because again, they have like a system. They have these pumps that extract the oil and then they can transport it. It's in the Penske truck or a U-Haul, whatever. Like, where is that going? What are you using it for?
Yes.
So specific. And like, is Wendy's known for not having good lockup, like so that you can easily get in and steal the oil? Is there a pump outside? Like, you know
what I'm going to say.
What? Inside job.
Yeah. One of these guys used to work at a Wendy's.
I guess. They must.
So he knows how it works.
They must. Yeah. It's like they need to work on that Wendy's and also perhaps make clear that you can't steal it.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to blame Wendy's for this one. I'm going to blame the guy that got caught by the police doing something and then 3 weeks later did it again and got caught by the police.
Would you blame him if he had not got caught? Like, are you only blaming him because he's not good at this, or are you blaming him because he may have committed a crime?
Oh, because he's not good at it.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear on that.
And then he didn't have the foresight to come up with like something to say when they picked him up besides, bro, there wasn't a sign saying I couldn't.
Exactly.
That's your defense?
I respect it. It's so absurd that I like it.
I'm on board.
All right. More fast food news. Everything's just weaving together today.
Mm.
I love a theme. In-N-Out. The very overrated and beloved fast food chain of the West Coast, California primarily.
Wildly overrated.
So overrated. Added new items to the official menu, which is interesting because they've always had like a secret menu. So it's like kind of a big deal when they actually do add items to the menu.
But it's misleading.
Okay.
They added cherry Coke and light lemonade. That's not a menu item.
Well,
that's another spout on the drink machine.
I'm a beverage enthusiast. To me, that would be exciting.
I know. I love Cherry Coke Zero is probably like my favorite beverage,
wow,
health not included. But I will say this is another In-N-Out adjacent story. It's not in the rundown. Did you see that Paul Giamatti went to In-N-Out after the Golden Globes?
I did, yeah.
So now I'm starting to think that celebrities are doing this knowing that that post will happen. I think these are calculated fast food visits after award shows, knowing you're wearing a damn tuxedo and you're famous and people are going to take pictures of that. And then they're going to post it the next day and get part of the news cycle. And it's all contrived because it makes you seem like a normal person, even though you're not, because you're Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Graydon Carter's Vanity Fair party always has an In-N-Out truck after the Oscars. So I wonder if he was like trying to elicit that or like evoke that. I don't know. Maybe he was just hungry.
Maybe.
I don't know. I liked the holdovers. Did you see it?
No.
It's good. It's emotional. It's very sad. All right, let's move on. Another story. Beer drinking in America has fallen to the lowest level in a generation. I feel like this is when I heard a few years ago that like sex was out or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, young this people happens all the time.
Aren't into sex or something. Yeah, people are just like not drinking Bud Light because they're also like drugs are legal in a lot of places. Like,
that's interesting.
I think that has something to do with it too.
Oh, so I think when you read on in the article, a lot of it, what it is, for example, here's a quote from a guy that I don't know his name. For example, I'm a journalist. Some of the world's largest soft drink and energy companies introduced sugar-forward alcohol beverages to the market, all of which are fine for the same consumer occasions as traditional malt and hop-forward products, i.e., with there used to just be like
beer?
Five different beers. Yeah. And now there's like a million different hard seltzers. There's hard kombucha. There's hard water. There's hard punch. There's hard everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. But
more options. But I just also think people like can smoke weed.
Yes. And one thing that like makes this, a couple things I learned out of this, which is interesting, is the number one import is Modelo. Huh. Mm. Number one beer in America in 2023.
Modelo? It's really popular.
I would not think that. It's a very good beer. And also they're like, yes, huge, like the number of barrels that we're shipping out is down. Oh my God, this is awful. The, you know, there's so many new products in the marketplace. We're getting a smaller slice. But guess what? Financially, because they've raised the prices, they're doing great. They're doing better than ever. So yeah. I don't feel bad.
Yeah, totally.
It's like if the business is good, then
it's
whatever.
Fine. Yeah. Who cares? I mean, I feel like, is it something like inherent about eating or drinking beer that like people need to maintain? I don't know. Is it like an American thing? I don't know.
Yeah. Whoa. Very American.
Bud Light is.
I love beer.
I mean, like, not all of it is, though. Like, German beer is a thing.
No, I think just drinking beer is, regardless of where the beer came from.
Sure.
Drinking beer is a very
American,
thing.
Pastime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Beer at a baseball game.
Football. Peanuts, watch football Sunday. Just crush a 12-pack.
Beer in sports.
Love it.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah, and a burger. Some wings.
One final story, Jacoby, before we move on to our taste test.
Okay.
France is the location in which there has now been a pizza with 1,001 flavors of cheese.
I hate these people.
I do too.
Wait, I mean, please, if you look at the pizza looks like a cake. It's the size of a cake. And at
the
crust of the cake is a pizza crust. And the cake itself, which has got to be about 3 or 4 inches high, is just cheese stacked on top of cheese, stacked on top of cheese.
It's not pizza.
It's like, it looks like a giant hockey puck is kind of the dimensions that it has.
10 minutes.
And the cheese, it doesn't look edible at all.
At all. It just also looks bad.
Yeah, and it's like what's the, this isn't a pizza. If the point of this, I think the spirit of the record is to put the most cheeses on a pizza, but I like that pizza to be edible. Like, remember when they filled that warehouse in Los Angeles Convention Center?
Yes.
Made the biggest pizza ever? It looked like an edible pizza.
Also, it doesn't look like pizza. Like, at what point is it no longer pizza?
Yeah, how are we defining pizza? Great point.
That's not a pizza to me.
This is a bunch of cheese on a crust plate.
Yeah, I reject it.
Yes, you know what? I'm taking this back. They did not break the Guinness Book of World Records.
I feel like France should be better than this, you know?
Yeah.
I expected more.
Yes.
Well, fuck that. Let's move on to our taste test.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thanks to producer Mike Wargon for picking up today's taste test, which looks awesome. It is Anita Gelato, which we've talked about before. It's like really popular.
It's one in my neighborhood.
Started in Tel Aviv.
And it is the best gelato experience, maybe the best ice cream experience I've ever had. Great flavors, great service, huge line. It's worth every minute and every penny that you spend there. It's a fantastic experience.
Mike got us like takeout. The packaging is like phenomenal. It's like a very fancy bag that looks like the gelato version of Burberry or something. The great packaging, and we're tasting three flavors: s'mores, pistachio, and then a hazelnut mousse and chocolate crunch, which is, I can't wait.
Oh my God, this looks so good.
I love s'mores. I also haven't had lunch, so I'm starving, so I will be eating a lot.
Great, please do.
I'm going straight for s'mores and having a giant spoonful.
Yes. This is I can't talk enough about the way that this is delivered. Mm. If you get like Van Leeuwen to go, they scoop some Van Leeuwen into like a basic pint cup, and then they're like, here you go. This is a totally different thing.
The s'mores is awesome. Those only taste like s'mores though. It's like a different flavor. Mm. Take some pictures.
So, the crunch is really good because one of the things I love about Anita Gelato is if you go to Baskin Robbins or a traditional ice cream place, it's just ice cream in an ice cream container. But they always have a layer of crunch on top.
Mm.
It's usually like a chocolate layer, or so you kind of get some crunch and some mush in every single scoop.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm having that right now. It tastes like a Stracciatella with a crunch to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's pistachio really ice cream, I always use an example of, it is a very good product that will never get eaten because it's surrounded by much better options at all times. But again, try the pistachio. Perfect. Anita Gelato is so good. This is going to be one of those things, if I was like a rich person, I would buy stock in Anita Gelato right now.
It's in a lot of places. Like, this is an international food taste test.
Oh, yeah. It's good. And I had a large cappuccino. Fantastic.
Mm.
It was so good.
The pistachio is really good. I've never once ordered pistachio for myself.
That's what I'm saying. It's a very good product that is never going to get used because it's surrounded by better options.
What do you think of the s'mores?
The s'mores one? Haven't tried it yet. Well, I guess I'm going to do that.
Because I don't think it tastes like s'mores, but it's really good.
In fact, no. That's not s'mores.
I'm having a second bite.
That is not s'mores. If someone said that was amaretto cherry, I'd be like, oh, yeah, amaretto cherry.
Whoa, I'm having a second bite to see if I taste that.
It has sort of like an alcoholic taste to it.
I did get a marshmallow.
That is not s'mores at all.
It's not s'mores, but it's really good.
Mm.
I'm having a third bite.
Okay. We're just going to eat ice cream for the rest of the pod.
Well,
God, this is so good.
Okay. The reason we didn't have a pod last week was because I got COVID. And I got COVID tongue. So we're moving into personal food news.
Oh, PFN, COVID tongue. Okay, you texted this and I was like, oh, that's so bad. I have no idea what
it is. Did you Google it?
No.
It's a good thing.
What is it?
Are people going to be annoyed that I'm eating ice cream and talking?
No. People want you to be happy, Julia, and everyone knows you're happy when you're eating ice cream.
I love it.
We're on your side. Everyone is.
So I had COVID. Normal COVID, fever for a day, congested, tired, blah, blah, blah. Starting to feel better. My fever goes away. On the road to recovery. New Year's Day. My tongue, it's like I've gotten a new disease. My tongue is swollen. It feels severely burnt.
What?
And I have lesions all along the side. So it hurts to talk. Hurts to talk. And it feels so burnt that I can't taste anything.
Oh my God. I didn't know this. I thought COVID tongue was I can't taste anything. I didn't know there was like a physical ramp. So your tongue is swollen.
I don't know this. I don't know anyone else who this has happened to, but of course I Googled it and I found a few articles about COVID tongue.
Was there a part of you that was like, I have to go to the hospital because my tongue is swelling and maybe I won't be able to breathe? That's one of the things I would think.
I was a little bit worried about going to sleep. I was like, what's happening to me? Will I stop breathing in my sleep? But I'm still here.
Great job living.
It was really, really unpleasant. And I don't know anyone else this has happened to or anyone else who's even heard of this. So if you know of anyone, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. So I couldn't really talk and I had to constantly drink water because it hurt so much and I need to lubricate my mouth.
Well, I always say that I would much rather take a samurai sword slice through the stomach than have a pinprick in my tongue. Because the tongue is so sensitive.
So sensitive, yeah.
And with that, the swelling is bad, but the stuff on the side, those little cuts, for lack of a better term, those white things, you're just you always it feels like someone's stabbing you with a hunting knife.
Yeah.
But then when you go in the mirror and you look at it, you're like, that's it? Like, that is the source of all of this pain?
So it's just you have so many nerve endings there. It was really bad.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't more sympathetic.
It's okay.
I thought you couldn't taste. I was no big deal. You can't even eat hot sauce.
No, it's so Mike suggested gelato for our taste test. And that would have been great, but it would have felt good because it was cold. I was sucking on ice cubes. It was the only thing that helped.
Oh my God.
But I wouldn't have been able to taste it. And it was just I was in a really bad mood.
Oh my God, Juliet. Of course you're in a bad mood.
Yeah, it really sucks.
If I had COVID tongue and I hit the lottery, I would still be pissed off.
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's great that I have all this money now. I'll worry about the tax implications. I'll get a financial manager. But this still sucks because my tongue, oh man.
I know. It was awful.
I feel like a bad friend.
It's okay. You didn't know what it was. And I didn't go into depth. But I wasn't just skipping out on food news. I was just this isn't happening for me today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, listen.
That's okay. Your turn.
I'm glad you bounced back.
Thanks. I'm going to have more ice cream. So you go ahead and talk.
We didn't have a show last week, but it was New Year's Eve. And the family's all together. And the first time I was going to ever let the kids stay up, me and the girls took a little nap and then got up later. It was great. New Year's Eve shows on television are a huge mess. Someone needs to fix them. I'd be happy to do that. Someone hire me.
I hated Andy and Anderson.
Every channel I went to, I was like, this is an absolute mess. Why? How come no one can do this?
Did Andy and Anderson become a Bravo takeover of CNN? Why? Give me more Anderson Cooper.
Okay. But that being said, we're watching this and I was thinking to myself, there's a real market here for a dish to take over as the New Year's Eve dish. Mm. And I'm asking this to people to call 646-2138. Is there a New Year's Eve dish? Because there's sort of like traditional Thanksgiving dishes, obviously. There are sort of like Christmas and Hanukkah dishes. And I just feel like this is a huge hole in the marketplace for a dish to step up and plant their flag as this is the New Year's dish. There's like seven fishes on Christmas for like, you know, the Italian thing. We all saw it on The Bear. And I think that this is a huge opportunity for a food to stake their claim as the New Year's Eve dish. Or even like something like a cake that you slice at midnight or some sort of food tradition around the New Year's holiday. Because New Year's, everybody celebrates.
What is your New Year's dish in your home?
I was kind of wondering that. And like, obviously my wife is going to cook it. So I'm not going to have notes or like even try to influence it or whatever. But I can't remember. I think she made more mac and cheese and she made something good.
I'm imagining cocktail meatballs. I don't know why.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like, there's no thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember what she made, to be honest with you. I was watching a lot of football.
Question about your daughters. Were they disappointed that they took a nap or like, were they like, we need to go to sleep?
Oh, they need to take a nap. I need to take a nap too.
I know, but I'm just saying like, did they want to stay up later? Like, were they bummed they didn't make it to midnight without a
nap?
No,
they knew everyone else was going to be awake and they have so much FOMO that they have to do something. You know what I mean? So they're
but
like,
could they have made it to midnight? Like if you had
allowed
them.
Yeah, but they'd be like disasters and like Margaret would be asleep underneath the blanket. It'd be a mess. So the three of us just snuggled and took a little hour nap between 10:30 and 11:30.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, great. Let's hit today's listener food news.
Hi, Juliet, Jacoby, and Mike. This is Brad from Brooklyn. I'm out here, boots on the ground in Bolingbrook, Illinois. I went to the Cosmic's to try it out, as I mentioned on the podcast yesterday. The wait was about 15 minutes. It was not that bad when I went early this morning, although the credit card machines weren't working, so I had to go pay an ATM fee like I was in a New York bodega.
30 seconds.
I would give a thumbs up to both the spicy queso sausage sandwich and the blackberry mint tea, but double thumbs up to the McPops, specifically the hazelnut one. Mm. And I would go back again, but probably not until it's in Brooklyn. Thanks. Have a good week.
Wow, Brad!
Brad!
You fucking crushed
it! Oh my God, Brad! Wow!
We love you, Brad!
But early on the show, Julia Lippman herself said, I want to know about Cosmic's. Someone go to Cosmic's and call in.
Mind is blown.
Who is Brad? Is Brad a plant?
I love Brad.
Is Brad an alien from the future? Can Brad time travel?
I'm celebrating Brad with another bite of ice cream.
I love Brad so much. And the chorizo breakfast sandwich does sound pretty good.
It does, yeah.
I understand a 15-minute wait. I think the credit card machine's probably down, probably added to that wait.
That's why they're starting with one location to figure out the kinks.
To get out the kinks. Blueberry tea is an aggressive move for early in the morning.
Well,
I would have gone with a coffee.
We don't know if it was the morning. I guess
he said it was the morning.
He did,
you're
right. Well, who knows what his morning is, you know? Your morning is 3:45.
Yeah, it's midnight for me
right
now.
To some, that's a midnight.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, thank you so much, Brad.
Wow,
you rule.
Shoot, you just came through so big,
If we had merch, we would send it to you. Thank you so much, Brad. Please call us with more testimonials of your food out in the wild, people. Thank you to Mike Wargon, as always, and we'll be back next week.